Welcome back to Drive Time with Dr. Douglas on WCLK. I'm Paula Gwen Grant, and if you have a health-related question for Dr. Adrian Douglas and tonight's guest, cardiologist Dr. David Montgomery, give us a call right now at 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. We're talking about heart disease, heart health, and heart disease, how we as a community and individuals can be healthier. Call us now, 404-880-9255. Let's go to Marietta, Georgia, and Kat. Kat, thanks for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Go ahead with your question.
If you're a middle-aged woman with no family history of heart disease, the way you see your gynecologist yearly, should you start to see a cardiologist as well?
Great question. We women think our OBGYN is pretty much the only doctor we ever need to see, Dr. Montgomery.
Yeah, that's also a little bit of mythology as well. I think that it's really important for every adult woman to have seen a preventive cardiologist at least once to get the lay of the land.
Okay.
And then you should be visiting, you know, every, 3 to 5 years, depending on what they find. If there's something to actively take care of, you might be seeing one more frequently than
So ladies, you heard that Dr. Montgomery now is a cardiologist, so we have to make sure we at least go and, you know, get a baseline, Dr. Douglas, right, so that we kind of know where we are, and if there's something found, follow up.
Absolutely should do that. Beginning around the age of 45 and older, almost all individuals, men begin their risk of cardiovascular disease at the age of 45, but some women, depending on family history, may in fact have that type of risk. Without any symptoms doesn't mean that you don't have something below the surface. Mm-hmm. So one should make an attempt to come in and begin some dialogue regarding evaluation for cardiovascular disease, be it with a preventative cardiologist or general internist, family medicine provider, anybody that has ability to begin to take a look. Needs to begin to take a look.
And as Kat was just asking our caller, she said, you know, even if you do not have family history, yeah. A lot of times we think, hey, I don't have family history, mm-hmm. So I don't have to worry about this. Mm-hmm.
Well, so, you know, that's a really good point, because a lot of times you may not know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a time that's in the sort of not too distant past where we didn't talk about it. So it could be that you just don't know. Mm-hmm. And there are things mm-hmm. that get passed along, and there's genetic little things that we learn, Dr. Douglas, in mm-hmm. medical school that mm-hmm. say that certain things can skip over generations.
Something,
you know, all these fancy Mendelian genetics mm-hmm. words that we use. All it means is everybody should be screened. Everybody. Mm-hmm. It's a number one killer.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a number one killer, shouldn't we know
right.
what our
and
risk is?
And you might be
yeah.
that member of the family.
That's exactly right.
And you make a good point, Dr. Montgomery, because families don't always share everything.
That's right.
We know this. That's you
right.
know, they don't
yeah.
tell you everything.
Yeah.
You think
not the
you
listeners.
Know.
Not our listeners, but maybe
I'm
some
sure
families.
Their families are perfectly functioning families.
That's true. I bet that is exactly right.
Talking yeah. about heart disease and the importance of talking as a family about what keeps us all healthy as a family. You're listening to Drive Time with Dr. Adrian Douglas. We're taking your calls, your concerns, your questions about heart disease and heart health at 404-880-9255. Let's go to Atlanta. Jeff is on the line. Jeff, thank you for calling Drive Time with Dr. Adrian Douglas. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Finally getting through Atlanta. I'm not having another stroke. Good. So, but I did have a stroke October 30th in 2018, and my cardiologist, I guess, defined it as a cryogenic stroke, and had atrial fib because I was pretty active. I was a former pro athlete, got into the acting industry years ago, and then there was a lot of stress and family, and I guess finally it just snapped. I don't smoke, I don't do anything, things like that. So everything on with my stroke went into my left side of my brain. So it impacted my speech and memory. I'm still trying to get through some of this. I think I'm about like 95% through, but they also put a device underneath my skin on my to monitor this is a Medtronic little device to monitor my heart and then put me on Eliquis, I guess, the blood thinner.
Jeff, I'm so glad you're doing so much better now, Jeff. It's just a wonderful thing to hear your voice and hear you tell your own story. This is really wonderful to hear from you. What question do you have tonight for our doctors? Just, how can they be further helpful?
Well, I still have a lot of anxiety, a lot from it. I still exercise, and I just, so I get kind of scared that I'm going to have another one. I mean, I about freaked out when Luke Perry, I was really triggered. And then all these other people started having strokes at our age. And so as far as somebody that's like myself that's had like a cryogenic stroke who didn't need to have one, but I did, how can you help to eliminate that kind of...
Yeah, Jeff, so thank you for sharing that. That is that's a story that, believe it or not, is not uncommon, what we call cryptogenic stroke. It just means... that we couldn't figure out why you had the stroke. We didn't have the common causes of a stroke, like a plugged-off artery or something called atrial fibrillation or AFib, which is an irregular heartbeat that can cause strokes. They couldn't figure out why you had the stroke. To answer your question, how do you continue to decrease your risk for stroke? And let me do just a quick point here. You being concerned and have some anxiety after that stroke is 100% normal. In fact, I would be very concerned about you if you had a stroke, like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. I'm doing great. Yeah, I can do whatever I want to do. It's normal for you to have this sort of sense, like, what was that? What was that ache? Everything that is in and around your mouth, your speech, your memory, anything like that is normal for you to have, number one. Number two, as you begin to get stronger and better, it will give you more confidence that you can speak without a glitch, that you can remember, but you've got to practice those things. Remember, none of that stuff is just going to come, from a blessing. You've got to create that change for yourself, and I would recommend you continue to do therapy. Now, the medical ways that we help prevent strokes from happening again are all around what we've been talking about. Yes, you've got to exercise 4 days a week minimum. Yes, you've got to have a low-fat, low-sodium diet, all of the things that we talk about prevention, but you're also taking important medicines because we don't know why you had a stroke. So the medicine that you're taking, Eliquis, is going to help you prevent that from happening again. It's important that people understand that medication is not an indictment. Medication is a very important tool to help you prevent this happening again and potentially being much worse, Jeff. Thanks for that.
Thanks for your call, Jeff. Dr. Adrian Douglas, any more to add to what Dr. Montgomery just shared with Jeff and with all of us? The anxiety is real. After you have such a major and, as Jeff explained, unexpected, and as Dr. Montgomery just explained, they really couldn't get down to the real cause of it. We have anxiety, and I just think this is true when we talk about a number of health issues. So, Dr. Douglas, how do you address that with your patients?
Well, try to reassure them in terms of we've done our best efforts, that we have them on the best medicines available, and that in the future therapy will provide them relief and recovery as much as possible. Certainly, we offer therapy and counseling for any type of ongoing stressors, because a lot of times that's necessary in order to make yourself your best self, is to get some form of counseling. So that would be an additional thing that I would do in addition to the therapy that is probably first part of recovery from a stroke.
No question about it. We're talking about heart disease. That's Dr. Adrian Douglas, and you're listening to Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Our special guest is cardiologist Dr. David Montgomery. We're taking your calls and questions now at 404-880-9255, talking about heart disease. And I'm going to go over to Duluth, Georgia, and Martha is on the line. Martha, hello. Thank you for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm calling about, you were talking earlier about being overweight and how it could affect the heart. I understand that women that have not gone through menopause yet, their body produces way too much estrogen, and that overabundance of estrogen can cause heart problems, and it can also cause cancer. So I have never had a chance to check all that out yet, and I'm just wondering what, you know, the doctor's views are on that.
Great question. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, Martha, I think that's a really good question. I think what we should be honing in on are the really common things that cause, you know, the cardiovascular diseases, right? Heart attack, strokes, in relationship to weight. When people are overweight, what happens is their blood sugar can go abnormal, their blood cholesterol can go abnormal, their blood pressure can go abnormal, what I call the big three. So if you know what your blood cholesterol is and you've got it controlled if it needs to be controlled, if your blood sugar is controlled and your blood pressure is controlled, the preponderance of the things that affect people with regard to cardiovascular disease vis-a-vis weight are under control. Then if you don't smoke and you don't have risk factors that are in the family that aren't under what we listed, then you've got all of the major common ones. If we took just those five things that we just mentioned, we would get rid of the lion's share of heart disease that is directly attributable to weight and obesity. So think
that's
about
amazing.
Those things.
Amazing. You know, that's actually really something because that puts us more in control.
Exactly.
You know, Dr. Douglas, that's the thing. Dr. Montgomery's talking about, okay, these are that's pretty realistic. Now, the issue, Dr. Douglas, is discipline. It's difficult for many of us with our schedules, with all that we've, you know, put in our lives to do and stress that we just are handling. Those five areas are still the primary ways for us to prevent heart disease?
Yeah, 80% of heart disease is preventable by really working on those five areas. And when it comes to being regular with exercise, a lot of times that's a commitment to work out with someone. That someone can be a significant other,
yes.
That can be a friend, that can be a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a commitment. Most of us respond to a commitment to a force outside of our body, a power higher than ourselves.
That's right. It helps keep us accountable.
Accountable, indeed.
Yeah, and that's so important. We're talking about your heart health and heart disease. If you have a question, if you have a concern, you have here Dr. Adrian Douglas. This is Drive Time with Dr. Adrian Douglas and also our special guest, cardiologist Dr. David Montgomery. And we're taking your calls at 404-880-9255. Let's go to Ronnie in Atlanta. Ronnie, hello. Thanks for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks for having me. I got a question in regards to, I guess, reversing the cardiovascular heart disease issues. Once you've become aware of you need treatment for heart disease, you don't hardly hear a lot of people talking about reversing it. So the mindset for some people is that, okay, I got an issue. I go to the pharmacy, get some pills, and I keep on doing what I'm doing because the pills are going to take care of the problem. So, but can you elaborate on, like, the possibility of reversing heart disease or cardiovascular illnesses?
Yeah, I mean, that is the crux of what we're here for, Ronnie. What a fantastic way to bring that to everybody's attention. This idea that the things that we would do to reverse the effects of heart disease, cardiovascular disease, not just heart disease, are the same things that we would do to prevent heart disease. Now, here's the issue. We should be focusing on prevention. But there are two kinds of prevention, Dr. Douglas. You know, we talk about this all the time in doctor speak. There's so-called primary prevention. You never had it before, and you're preventing it from happening. Or secondary prevention. Boy, you had it, and you don't want it to ever happen again. We can reverse heart disease. But guess how you do that, Ronnie? You do that with exercise and the proper diet. Now, there are some people who are famous in the country and certainly, you know, around the globe that have illustrated with real live people how to reverse heart disease. It's highly restrictive diets. It's diets that have not even an ounce of fat in it. You can't eat an avocado, for crying out loud. And who's ever heard that avocado's bad, right? Almonds, the only things. There are people in the country who have sort of cornered this idea that you can reverse plaque, for example. Plaque is one of the main reasons why people have heart disease and stroke. And that you can actually reverse the amount of plaque that you have with the right diet and exercise. The right diet and exercise. It requires work, right? And so the crusade should not be against medicine. That shouldn't be the stance. The stance should be for exercise and the right diet. It sounds trite. It sounds beat up. We've been saying it forever. But guess what? Through the test of time, it has stood, I should say, Paula, the test of time.
That's right.
We should be focusing on.
So, Dr. Douglas, I notice you focus on in your practice the same way. You talk about diet. Can you give us some information? What should we be eating? Now, Dr. Montgomery just said you could go real extreme, but what would be a general diet, or would you have general suggestions on what we should be eating to keep our heart healthy?
Really limiting red meat as far as you can, trying to get the red meat out of your diet. That's so important. And limiting your amount of processed foods that have been, you know, manipulated such that they can have long store half-lives.
So if you have something with an expiration date on it of 2021, that's a processed food.
That's a processed food. That's going to have a lot of added sugar, a lot of added fat, a lot of added sodium.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to move towards a plant-based diet, and that's a little bit different and alien for most people in America.
Yes.
Getting the red meat out of their diet completely.
Yes.
And moving towards completely plants. That's something that has been shown to be able to reverse cardiovascular disease.
So, you know, that's such an ongoing discussion in society. They laugh at vegans. People laugh at vegetarians. The carnivores say, give me my big old piece of meat. Mm-hmm. So what we need to understand is we got to take care of our heart.
Yeah.
And plant-based is actually the way to go, and less, you know, very little to no red meat.
Yeah. So, you know, there is a lot of data, and it's been out for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Before we started using this sort of term in the current zeitgeist of plant-based,
mm-hmm.
we've understood that eating more plants is healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so we should really specify for people why we think there is an issue with meats in general, particularly red meats.
Please.
It's not the red meat itself, the proteins that make up the meat, it's what we do to the meat and the company that it keeps.
Oh,
so if you think about this, right, if a lion eats red meat on the Serengeti floor, what it's going to leave behind is the skin, the fat, and the bone. Well, guess what we do with the red meat? We want the skin, the fat,
yes,
and sometimes the bone, right?
That's
so
true.
So the problem is not necessarily the meat, but the what we do to the meat, because usually what we do is we smother it with a rub. It's got a lot of sodium on it,
mm-hmm.
and we've got a rind of fat on that thing. And boy, do we cut
and we
into
cook
that
it
rind
in more fat,
and then
we
cook
it
in
more
butt,
fat,
right?
And
do
then top it off with some fat to make
then
it taste good.
And then what do you have with it? Do you have sliced tomatoes with your steak? No, you do not.
No,
what
you
do you have?
Taters.
You have cream corn.
You
got to
have some
potatoes,
carbs.
And cream spinach.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is we have a lot of saturated fat.
Yes.
Saturated fat is the problem that we understand is what leads to high cholesterol. High cholesterol leads to plaque in your arteries. Plaque in your arteries leads to heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get the fat all the way down in some extreme diets, as we mentioned, even what we call good fats, if you get fat down, sodium down, and you get the simple sugars down, you're going to be doing so much better. How do you do that then? What do you eat, people say? Plants.
Yes.
Eat more plants.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Veggies, plants.
Yeah.
Go for that as your base. We're going to talk more about that. We're talking about heart disease, heart health. Your questions are welcome here for cardiologist Dr. David Montgomery and also our own Dr. Adrian Douglas, 404-880-9255. Let's go to James in Atlanta. James, hello. Thank you for calling Drive Time with Dr. Adrian Douglas. Go ahead with your question. Hi.
Good afternoon. My question was regarding heart health. And now it's a big craze about fitness trackers and the number of steps you take a day. And it's a goal people have. But is that step per day equivalent to really sustain aerobic activity?
So that's a great question because everybody has a pedometer. He's talking about the Fitbit and all these gadgets, even your phone. If you walk with your phone, Dr. Douglas, usually has some sort of tracker if you carry your phone around with you. So is the 10,000 steps a day that we're, again, reading on the internet and everything, is that good advice for getting enough exercise for our heart to be healthy, Dr. Douglas?
Well, it's never too much exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to constantly be moving. I mean, they even have devices where you can work and just continue to step while you're working. And so trying to get as much motion in your life and not being sedentary. Increasingly, our society is more sedentary with us being behind computer screens and doing things along that line. So trying to get as many steps as possible is the strategy, however we can achieve that.
And that's really good because I think that has inspired a lot of people to get up. I know, you know, if you have certain mobile devices, the digital watches and so forth, it'll ping and let you know to get up, time to move. Dr. Montgomery, do you see the help of technology in helping folks exercise a little bit
yeah,
more?
Yeah, no, I think it's huge already, and it's going to be massive once we really get the technology in common use. And I was looking over at Dr. Douglas when he was saying that. I was like, wait a minute, I know Dr. Douglas gets like 20,000 steps a day. I mean, he's just zipping back and forth, taking care of people all day long. Uh-huh. Here's the other point, too. I like the idea that you've got an accountability partner on your wrist or on your phone. Mm-hmm. That idea, Dr. Douglas, that you talked about this idea of having something or someone to remind you of what you're doing. We know this is a theme in medicine, that if you've got somebody sort of looking at and reminding you of the things you should be reminded of, that you get better, whether that's mental
that's
health
true.
Or diabetes or whatever yeah. it is. And what I want folks to understand, though, is just because you've gotten 10,000 steps over the course of a day, you haven't gotten the aerobic exercise that we think has all that curative power.
Mm.
And so activity is one thing. Mm-hmm. That's your steps, right? Exercise is wholly another thing.
Okay.
You don't elaborate all of these. You get your body to secrete and release all of these great healing substances when you walk 10,000 steps.
Because there's 10,000 steps in your day, but it's not getting that heart rate up and keeping it up.
That's it. For 30 minutes at least. Exactly.
All right. So the 10,000 steps.
Honorary MD for Paula here. Yes. Okay.
Yes. And I hope you're learning too, everybody. Right. That's why we do this show. That is exactly why Dr. Adrian Douglas is bringing us Drive Time. And also we have our guest cardiologist giving us steps here, Dr. David Montgomery. And we need you in on this discussion as well. Our number is 404-880-9255. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, more about heart health and how you can do well and stay healthy. You're listening to Drive Time with Dr. Douglas on WCLK. Programming on Jazz 91.9 WCLK is made possible in part by MDVIP. Dr. Adrian Douglas, host of Drive Time with Dr. Douglas, is an affiliated physician with MDVIP. He has practiced internal medicine at Piedmont Hospital for more than 20 years. Dr. Douglas's primary care practice is focused on prevention. His patients take part in a wellness program made up of comprehensive, advanced health screenings and diagnostic tests that have been shown to detect issues earlier. He then customizes a wellness plan based on each patient's individual results. More information is available at mdvip.com. Listening to Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. On today's program, we are talking about heart disease. I'm Paula Gwen Grant, and I'm happy to be here with our guest, cardiologist Dr. David Montgomery. You can join the conversation. We're talking to you about heart health right here on Drive Time with Dr. Adrian Douglas. Dr. Douglas, every day you see patients over at Piedmont Atlanta Hospital, and I know this is the top killer. And it's such a sad thing, because I don't think we realize, because we hear about so many other illnesses. Heart disease is something we need to have our minds on, right?
It is. Number one killer of Americans. It crosses all boundaries. It's something that I deal with and look for in almost every patient I see each day. And so there are certain steps that we need to take to try to diagnose it.
Mm-hmm.
In my office setting, I'm able to do an EKG so I can at least take a look at the rhythm and determine if there's any evidence of irregularity, any changes in the electrical forces of the heart, which may suggest hypertension may have injured the heart or any type of problem with particular loss of circulation based on an EKG.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other tests that I don't have in my office, but I'm able to have done at the hospital or have done over in Dr. Montgomery's office, such as an echocardiogram, a sonogram, looking at how the heart moves and beats to see, again, whether or not there's any chamber enlargement, whether or not there's any valves that are leaking, whether or not one part of the heart wobbles, which it shouldn't, which may suggest that there's a lack of circulation. And then one that almost everyone knows is a stress test, which is
yes.
a kind of the cornerstone of all diagnosis for cardiovascular disease. And again, frequently enough, I'm able to get that done by referring to individuals such as Dr. Montgomery to be able to have that done in one particular location and be able to make the diagnosis. So, Dr. Montgomery, is there anything else that you might think of in terms of diagnosing cardiovascular disease besides those simple things that I talked about, EKG, echo, and stress test.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dr. Douglas, it was really important that people hear all of those things. And what we know now is that there are tests over and beyond, and as we share our patients, we know that there are things that we say, you know, let's go that extra step against this disease, heart disease. Mm-hmm. One of those things is a simple blood test called LPA for everybody. LPA, everybody should have an LPA at least once in their life. LPA is what caused the celebrity trainer Bob Harper to have a massive heart attack. Here he is, the picture of health. Turns out he had a massive heart attack 2 years ago, got his cholesterol, looked great. Got something called LPA, which is a very, you know, sort of toxic, dangerous cholesterol particle that's not measured very much, LPA. His was very, very high, and the reason why he had a heart attack. Everybody, especially people of African-American or African descent, South Asian descent, should have an LPA because the levels are 2 to 3 times higher. Oh. And then something called a calcium artery or a coronary artery calcium score. It's a CAT scan, very simple CAT scan, that will tell you if there's early heart disease. It's the equivalent of a mammogram or a colonoscopy for the heart, a CAT scan called coronary artery calcium.
And it's something that you mentioned, Bob Harper, Dr. Montgomery, because, again, he's the fitness expert.
That's exactly right.
Okay, on the TV show The Biggest Loser.
Big shocker.
And that was a shocker because you talked about the importance of exercise, and here this person is an expert.
Right.
And so that LPA is what we should be asking our doctors
for. That's exactly right. LPA, along with the stress test, EKG, echocardiograms, LPA, and a coronary artery calcium CT. That's exactly right.
Make sure you make those notes. You're listening to Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. That's cardiologist Dr. David Montgomery talking about heart health and what we can do. We are empowered as patients when we go see our doctors. Let's go to Lola in Atlanta. Lola, thank you for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I had an echocardiogram done the 21st of this month. And the results came back that I had my left ventricle and atria was dilated, and I have an appointment to see a cardiologist, but I wonder what that meant.
Yeah, so that's a very good question, Lola. So when the ventricle or any chamber of the heart, it sounds like two chambers are dilated, it typically is a sign that the heart has been under some sort of stress, and the most common form of stress, not that it's yours, is high blood pressure. And so if you've been challenged by high blood pressure for a little while, it could very well be that that's the reason. And the second most common reason is atherosclerosis or plaque in an artery that causes the heart to dilate. And it's going to be up to you and your cardiologist to figure out which one of those or whatever the cause is and then chart a course, a roadmap for how you get your heart better.
So be encouraged. We will think and send you good wishes. And now you talked, Dr. Douglas, about something that's very important, and particularly for the African-American community, hypertension, high blood pressure, and it being the silent killer, because I discovered I had high blood pressure. I didn't even know. Didn't have a single symptom.
Yeah.
Not one. I was perfectly fine. And to your earlier point on this show, and both of you made this point as physicians, you have to get checkups, do you not? Because, you know, you think you feel no symptoms. I must be perfectly fine, Dr. Douglas.
Yeah, in 2017, the cutoff point for hypertension changed.
Mm.
There are just many, many more Americans now that are hypertensive based on that cutoff. It used to be over 140 over 90 for probably in the last 20 years, and now it's dropped down to 130 over 80.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times there's no symptoms at all.
Right.
You may have suspicions based on family history, but a lot of times, no symptoms. The only way you can determine it is to get your blood pressure measured. And what we found is blood pressure measurements, a lot of times outside of the doctor's office, are a lot more accurate. When you come to the doctor, a lot of times people are upset, they're rushing, they're concerned about different things.
That's true.
So sometimes we have this condition called white coat hypertension. And that may even occur if your doctor doesn't have a coat on. I wonder even whether or not it may be dental hypertension when you're waiting for the dentist.
Well,
but
it's
your
true.
Blood pressure goes up.
Almost certainly.
Yeah, it eats. So it goes up. It goes up.
And yes.
And what we found is that even white coat hypertension, the line of people that have normal blood pressure, the people that have white coat hypertension, and the people that have hypertension, people with white coat hypertension still have a higher cardiovascular risk.
Uh-huh.
So it's not normal. And it needs to be managed and followed.
That's so important. And don't think because you don't feel anything, that everything must be fine. Yeah. Dr. Montgomery, you talked about the importance of also checking in and seeing a doctor you trust.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, it's a different way of visualizing the relationship. It's not the old paternalistic way of going to see a doctor. You come into the doctor when you're 17, 18, and you do what I say, and you, mm-hmm. and you walk out. And nobody wants that kind of relationship.
No.
Really, we're looking at relationships now as I'm hiring a consultant to help me do something.
Yeah.
So go find a doctor that you trust to do it. On the blood pressure front, there are a couple really key points about your blood pressure. So one of them is that not everything that can harm you hurts. Not everything that can harm you hurts. You can't diagnose yourself at home just because nothing hurts.
Yes.
Not everything that can harm you hurts. Remember that. And then this idea that the changes of what we call okay in the medical community really just reflect the idea for me as an aggressive, self-admittedly, aggressive cardiologist, that normal should be the goal.
Yes.
Not okay for you. Can I tell you how many people have come in with okay for you blood pressure? Oh, for you, that's okay. Yeah, your blood pressure used to be 180 over 90, but 140, that's okay for you. And that person has a heart attack or stroke.
Right.
So
right.
So I think that there should be, you know, this idea as patients. I'm a patient, right? Everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, every human adult should be a patient.
Yes.
You know, that we say, how can I get to normal? Is it possible for me to get to normal? And if I can, how do I do it? Normal is what our goal should be.
You're listening to Dr. David Montgomery. Thank you. Cardiologist who's really been able to share quite a bit with us. Dr. Montgomery, we thank you for being with us here. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
How can people reach out to you, Dr. Montgomery?
So my office is in just outside the perimeter in Sandy Springs off of Roswell Road. So you can get to me in two different ways. Call us. We love the phone calls, too. Still today, we love the phone calls. 470-735-5045. 470-735-5045. Or on the web at PreventATL. It's all about prevention.
That's
prevent,
right.
Like defense, preventatl.com.
Dr. Douglas, some final words about heart health, heart disease.
Well, I just want to thank Dr. Montgomery for being our guest, most importantly.
Yes.
It's been so informative to have him here. But everyone is involved in taking care of themselves, so you have to establish a relationship with a good provider, a good doctor, and also you have to be accountable to yourself first and foremost and to someone else.
Thank you both for being here, and thank you for listening. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Drive Time with Dr. Adrian Douglas on WCLK. More information about Dr. Douglas and MDVIP is available at MDVIP.com or by phone at 1-866-347-9339. You can listen to this program a second time on demand at WCLK.com. Drive Time with Dr. Adrian Douglas is produced by WCLK in conjunction with MDVIP. Executive producer for MDVIP is Sean Kelly. The producer for WCLK is Rob Maynard. We'll be back with a new program on Wednesday, August 7th, with a discussion about sleep disorders. Having trouble sleeping? That show is for you, Wednesday, August 7th. On behalf of Dr. Douglas and MDVIP, I'm Paula Gwen Grant, wishing you the best of health.